As a little boy, there was something struck me. That scared me. About every 7 years, it would happen to me. Brother Jack remembers when I first started, come off the field for a year. Something just happened. I remember the day that Juanita Hemphill, I think her name's Juanita Kelly now, she married Brother Kelly after the death of her husband. Anna Jean, I've got their pictures and things. There were such, her, them two girls and Sister Moore had a little trio. They sang that song that I never forget, Looking Beyond the Sunset. Brother Jack, you remember, I guess, coming up from Florida. What fine little girls. And I remember that morning, a little a Pentecostal group from up here in northern part of the country, Michigan somewhere, those girls stood out there with Brother Hooper. And I seen him here the other night. He may not be here now. Brother Ed Hooper. Are you here, Brother Ed? I don't think he sat here the other night. Not many of you know him. He and I and Brother Hooley, we was leaving, and those girls standing in their corner singing that gave us each one a yellow rose that they took out of their hair. That's where that maniac had been healed down there. Great things that took place. Coming up the road, just as happy as I could be, all of a sudden it struck me. A year later, before I entered the field again. Just kill me. Since a little boy, I always said I didn't know what a vision was. A little boy always said, if I'd only fall in one of those trances and see that I'd get well. That time, I always wanted to go to Mayo's to find out what was wrong. The doctor's there, my stomach is sour, and oh my, Brother Jack's helped me around the house. I walk right around the house, and just a hot, greasy water like flying out of my mouth, and walk to the pulpit and pray for people that was twice that bad to be healed. I've had him lay my hands on a man with a cancer on his face, and the cancer left his face standing there, and I was so sick I couldn't stand up. And you don't know what I've suffered. Gives mental oppression. Every 7 years, it's come all my life. That's where I'm at now. 7 8. So I was so distressed. I cried, I begged, I pleaded. Now, I remember when I finally thought I had enough money to go to Mayo's for an examination, they said, they'll find what your trouble is. Wife and I, Becky back there, Sarah was a little bitty fella. I just entered my healing ministry. And we took off to Mayo's. I went through the clinic, and the night before I had my finals the next morning, I just woke up and was sitting there on the bed looking around. And I looked out in front of me, and there was a little boy, looked just like me, about 7 years old. I looked at it, and it was me. And he's standing by an old snag tree. And on that tree, any of you squirrel hunters know, you can rub a stick up and down on a tree like that and a scare squirrel and run him out if he's in the holler. And I was seen there where that squirrel had been, and I thought, what kind of squirrel is that? And I rubbed it. And when I did, I looked over, and it was me then, about 38 years old. The little boy was gone. So I rubbed that limb, and out of that hollow log pole come a little squirrel about that long, dark, almost black, and looked like little currants flying from him. Little bitty beady eyes, the wickedest looking thing that I ever seen. Looked like a weasel, more than a squirrel. And he looked right at me. And I opened my mouth and say, well, and when I did, he... Before you could have batted your eye, he flew right into my mouth, went down into my stomach, and just tearing me to pieces. And as I come out of the vision, with my hands up, looking at the window, screaming, oh, God, have mercy! It's killing me! I heard a voice way down in the room say, remember, it's only 6 inches long. How many have heard that story? I've told you that many times to people around the tavern. Well, on and on it went. Suffering just the same. Mayo Brothers the next day examined me and said, your father was an Irishman. He drank. Your mother, being a half Indian, that makes you almost a half breed. So you're just such a nervous wreck until you'll never be out of it. Said, otherwise you're healthy. But that's something in the soul that man cannot control. Said, When a man dies, can't hold autopsy because his soul's gone. He said, we'll never get over it. And that guy said, my old doctor said, my father had, he died at about 85, 90 years old, somewhere along there, he said. He said, a month or two before he died, I examined him, had all his life, he'd get now. Said, spell some people, said they get it, high-tempered. Said, that's the kind that'll kill you. He said, the other kind, like women in menopause, they cry. You got the kind that's kind of a wearied feeling. He said, the old-timers used to call it, add the blues, it wouldn't leave them. He said, when that hits you, your stomach sours, you're just upset. I said, but sir, I'm happy. He said, that's right. That's just out of the human grab bag. Said, you'll always have it. Oh, what a discouraging thing. But the words of thinking, remember, it's only 6 inches long. That's hung with me, as my dear wife Becker can tell you, year after year, I've thought of that. And then, going overseas this last time, I was back home. Now, I was on a squirrel hunting trip. I jumped out of the car with Brother Banks Woods, who's listening in tonight. And I started running up the hill, and looked like my heart would jump out of me. I asked Dr. Sam Adair, I said, what does that? He said, next time you have it, get a cardiogram. So, all right. So it happened again the next year. And when I took the cardiogram, he said, nothing wrong with your heart. You're just nervous. Start coming on then. Well, another doctor said to me, a good friend of mine said, that's your heart, boy. Said, you better be careful. That's a year I called Brother Moore, and he got somebody preaching my stead when I went on that ram hunt with Brother Fred. I'd go up over mountains just like I did when I was 16 years old, mile after mile running. Never bothered me a bit. I come back and told Sam, he said, well, there's something wrong, you better be careful. Then I saw a vision of an old doctor standing with those old-fashioned doctor with some stereoscopes over his arm. He said, he's standing in front of me one day. He said, don't let them tell you that's your heart, that's your stomach. So I thought, well, I just take that word because it was a vision. Come on, I started to Africa to get some shots. I had to take a bunch of shots before going to Africa. That's the law. So when I was getting these shots, he said, well, I can't find one thing wrong with you. He said, your hemoglobin, your blood's 96. He said, if you're 16 years old, it wouldn't be any better. And said, hard enough to beat you 100 years. Lungs, everything. He said, you're all right. No sugar, nothing. I said, thank you. So I got a physical test and to take my health certificate to the board. So he said, you know anything about it? I said, nothing but persistent souring in the stomach all the time. He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, I've been examined. I've been to Mayo Brothers and everywhere. He said, but wait a minute. He said, sometimes the ulcer is so little that barren meal won't show it. And sometimes it's too big to show it because an x-ray is only a shadow. If a little bitty ulcer, you can't see, they want enough stick. A whole lot of little bitty ulcers could do that. He said, I know an old doctor up here that's found an instrument, they got it now, they can put you to sleep with a little sodium and pentothal, put a tube in your throat, and they just actually look down in your stomach and see what's wrong. He said, he's your type of people. He's a Christian. He said, why don't you go see him? I took his name, Dr. Van Ravensworth. So when I come back, I went up to see the old doctor. Oh, he's a fine old man from Dutch East Indies. I have a big line of missionaries, and he'd heard of me and read my book. And he just shook my hand. He said, Brother Branham, I'd be glad to do that for you. He said, tell you what, do. Next week, you run over to the hospital over here. And said, and call me up before you go. And said, I have to give you a little shot of pentothal. And said, then what to do? He said, it puts you to sleep for 5 minutes. My little girl had just took it. I have a tooth pulled. And Brother Norman's little girl, at 5 minutes sleep, I thought, that won't bother me. So I thought I'd be satisfied then to look at it. And then the next morning, I raised up in the bed and looked around. I looked over in the twin bed. My wife over there, she hadn't woke up yet. And I was looking out the window towards the great Catalina Mountains. There where I live. And I looked up there where the angel of the Lord put that sword in my hand, where the seven angels that you see in the picture appeared, great things taking place. And I looked. And as I looked there, I was standing by that tree again, right where that squirrel was. I looked up there, I thought, that's that squirrel's den. And I thought, wonder if he's still up there in the vision. I raked the side of the tree, out he come. And before I could even bat my eye, He's the oddest looking squirrel I ever seen. Now you have to know my ministry to know these symbols and things. He jumped at me, but he missed me. He missed my mouth, hit on my chest, and fell off. And as soon as he did, I heard something said, "Go to the Catalina Mountains." So I turned around. I said, "Meaty, are you awake, honey?" I woke her up. She said, "What's the matter?" About 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, "I was looking out here, and I saw that squirrel again, honey." "What squirrel?" I said, "One I seen up there at Mayo's." I said, "You know what? He missed my mouth this time. He never hit me. He went out on my chest." I said, "Praise be to God. I've looked, well, since a little boy, I have longed to see that happen. If I could ever see that happen, not even before I know what a vision was, if I could ever see that happen, then," I said, "I'd be all right. Whatever that told me, that's what I'd be." And for 40 years, I've looked for that. And there it happened. Before, when I was at Mayo's, the same time I was up there, when they gave me that message, and I saw the vision, my old mother's gone on to glory now, very odd woman. She had about 3 or 4 dreams in her life. And they were always true. She'd start to tell me, and I'd say, "Stop right, Mom, I'll tell you what the rest of it is." See? Because always when you give me a dream to interpret, you don't always tell me just exactly what it is. Then when I see it over again, I see exactly what you dreamed about, then he tells me what it is. See? You don't have to tell me what the dream is. He shows me the dream himself. See? And then I see. I say, "Well, you didn't tell me this and tell me that." See? And so the God that can interpret a dream can show a dream. You show one, you can interpret it. And so then, well, wasn't there something like that in the Bible? It said, if you can, I just happened to come to me. Daniel, wasn't it? Joseph. Joseph. It was somewhere in the Bible. I just remember that. That if you can show me, you can tell me what it's King Nebuchadnezzar. That's right. Said, if you can, if you can't, the magician said, "Tell me the dream." He said, "It's gone from me." That's right. That I remember that. Just thought of it then. Now notice. And Mama, she said, "Billy, when I come back," she said, "come here, son, and sit down." She said, "I had a strange dream. I dreamed that I seen you laying sick, just about to die. With your stomach, as usual." How many dikes has she cooked me? And she said, "You were building a house up on a hill." And said, "I seen 6 white doves come down from heaven cooing in a letter S. And they set up on your chest. And you was looking, and the one in front was trying to tell you something. Said, it's real glossy white doves. And they tuck their little heads and put against your cheek and going, coo. Coo, coo." I said, "I couldn't understand it." I just kept going, "Coo, coo, coo." I said, "Oh, I see it. Praise the Lord." And said, they formed their letter S again and went back up into the skies going, "Coo, coo, coo, coo," going back home. Well, the little animal that I saw was 6 inches long. The string of doves that Mom saw was 6. 6 is incomplete. I knew that someday I'd see that 7th one. That was man suffering. So on and on it went. That morning I got up after seeing this vision, obeyed the Lord. I took my little boy Joseph to school. He's listening to me now in Tucson. I took him to school, told me that I didn't know when I'd be back. And I took off up into Catalina, up into the foothills, and went up into the place where the angel of the Lord put the sword in my hand real early, and started climbing up the mountain. Well, instead of going up in the peaks this way, which is a lot of snakes, scorpions, you know how Arizona is, I turned to my right. Something said, "Turn to your right." I went way into the peaks. I went around, and I was going around those great, huge rocks, many times bigger than this tabernacle, laying up in them tops there where seldom ever a person could get. Along about 11 o'clock, I was going into a little cove back where a little place turned in like this over a little deer trail. And I had my shirt off, my hat in my hand, because I was just lathering with sweat. And so I turned in there, and as I turned in that little cove, I felt the presence of the Lord. I jerked off my hat and looked around. Lord, he's here somewhere. I know he's here. Oh, what is it? I made a few more steps. I said, Lord, you're here somewhere. I looked laying on the path, and there lay that little squirrel, had jumped at something and missed it, and it hit a bunch of cholla, that's jumping cactus. It ran through his head, chest, stomach, and he was dead. That odd-looking little squirrel, he had missed my mouth and hit that cholla. And the voice of the Lord said, your enemy is dead. I stood there and I trembled. I put my foot, Matt, usually crows would eat it up. I killed a snake a couple days later there and laid on the road about a half hour. There's always eagles and crows flying through there. They'll pick it up right now. I killed a coral snake. That's the most dangerous snake we got. Laying right beside of me a few days after that. I started to come back to pick it up to show it. Crows had done got it. Ravens passing over. And that had been laying there ever since I'd seen the vision 2 days before. I believe it was on Saturday and I went up there on Monday. So there he was laying on there dead. I mashed it with a foot. I went back around, sat down again, sat there and cried a while and prayed, looking down over Tucson, miles below me. Turned back around and come back and still laid there. When I entered that cold, the Spirit of God come on me again. I went on around, went down the mountain, went in and told my wife, I said, honey, I don't know how, but I'm going to get over this. Dr. Ravensworth, when he gave me the examination, he said, it's totally impossible for you to be well. He gave me a shot of pentothal that was to last me for 5 minutes, and I slept 10 hours. So that stuff, even aspirin just knocks me out. So he gave me a shot. Put that tube down my throat. When I come to, and he told me next morning, he said, Reverend, I hate to tell you this, but said your stomach walls are even so hard they're dried up. I never seen it. He used the name of gastritis, and I went and looked in the dictionary, and it said something is withered away. It said you can't get over it. It said you'll always have it. And I would have been a discouraged boy if it hadn't been for the vision of the Lord. And the next day, something said, go back to the mountain. And that day, instead of going one way, I was led to go another way. And I was standing there, and looking, sitting in front of me, and there sat that seventh little white dove, looking right at me. I rubbed my eyes. I said, surely it's a vision. Surely it is. I looked, and I said, little dove, where do you come from? This is pretty and white. Could have been a pigeon. Whatever it was away in that wilderness. God Almighty, who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, whose servant I am, his word laying here open before me, know that I tell the truth and lie not. There sat the dove, sitting there looking at me. I walked around, I thought, surely it's a vision. I turned my head, looked back, and there he sat there, them little white wings, just as snowy as he could be, his little yellow feet and little yellow beak, sitting there looking at me. He's watching right straight westward. I walked around him like I wouldn't touch him for nothing. I walked on up the trail, looked back, there he still sat watching me. Brother, as a son of Abraham, I consider not what the doctor told me. I'm going to be well anyhow. The third day I went back, I was climbing up high. Many of you know the vision about the Indian chief riding that little wall to the west. Something attracted me off to a big rock. About noontime, said, lay your hands against that and pray. God in heaven knows this is true. I laid my hands against the rock and looked up towards heaven and started praying. I heard a voice coming out of the top of the rocks there, said, what are you leaning against over your heart? I raised back like this, my bare shoulders naked from the waist up, hot. I looked back, and there was wrote in the quartz, in the stone, white eagle. Just exactly what the vision said that the next message would come forth by. I was so excited, I run home, got a camera, come back the next day and took the picture of it. It was still there. Wrote in the rock, white eagle. Dove leading eagle. Somehow, I know, I'll tell you before it happens. The doctor's a good doctor, no doubt. I think he's a fine man. But I know I'm going to be over it. It's done, it's finished. And I'm going to be well. I was thinking as Ernie sang that song a few moments ago, On the Wings of a Dove. How is the melody to that? Start it for me, Ernie.
On the wings of a
snow white dove. Sing it with me. God sent down His pure, sweet love. Was a sign from above on the wings of a dove. I understand Ernie made two verses of that. I'm going to make you three verses. Noah had drifted on the floods many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. For God gave him His sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent down His pure, sweet love, was a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though here rejected, but not from above, for God gave us His sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent down His pure, sweet love, for a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing both night and day, but faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me His sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent down His pure, sweet love, was burning from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sent down His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Dear God, I thank You for these things, Father. You give no other sign. You gave the world a sign, and You gave me a sign. And the next day, seeing that eagle flying. Oh God, there's a message coming forth now. And I pray, God, that You'll let the dove lead. Grant it, Lord. It's led me to a faith I never had before. I know, God, I know it's going to be all right. So I thank You for it, Father. And tonight, send down Your message again, Lord, on the wings of the dove of the Word. Grant it, dear Heavenly Father, and everyone that passes through this platform tonight, and out yonder in the meetings across the country, may Your great dove of faith fall into their hearts and give them faith, Lord, for their healing. Remember that God is not a respected person. He who could send a message to Noah, could send it to John the Baptist, could send it to me, can send it to others. I pray that that dove will fly into every heart right now, Lord, with this little golden beak, and whisper that by His stripes, by my wounds and stripes, You are healed. God grant that our transgressions will be blotted out, our iniquities will be forgiven us, and that our sickness will be healed. It's in Your hands, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. With your heads bowed just 1 minute longer, how many here would like to say, if you can and want to say this, Brother Branham, I've been wrong all my life. I wanted to serve God, but tonight I'm ready to surrender. Pray, God, that that dove will fly into my heart tonight. I can feel it flutter its wings as He comes in. Raise your hands, will you? Here in the visible audience, my all over the building. Way out into the audiences across the country, way up to Brother Hunt and Brother Coleman, out to Brother Leo and them, down into Tucson, over into Branham Tabernacle, across the West Coast. Raise your hands everywhere. I want the dove to fly into my heart tonight. Bring me God's sweet love on the wings of a snow-white dove, the Holy Spirit. Bring it to me tonight, Lord. Drop into my heart the faith that I have need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, forgive our sins. The wounded dove has brought the message back. Oh, God, it's finished. We believe that. Just give us faith to believe it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sent down His pure, sweet love. Was a sign from above. On the wings of... Where'd that dove come from? I don't know. He wouldn't have been out there in that wilderness like that. No, no. No, he wouldn't have been there. And why was he white? The Heavenly Father knows he's as white as my shirt. There he sat there. But it was on the wings of a snow. God sent down pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a, on the wings of a snow dove, God sent down His pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a... Oh, don't you feel real humble? Let's just shake one another's hands and sing it. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sent pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings above. Let's raise your hands to Him and sing it. On the wings of a snow.